In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey, the podcast where we cover all the pop culture we love to hate, from the classic reality TV moments of the past and present to the latest Daily Mail headlines and everything in between. We'll dive into all the infamous and notorious messes you can't stop watching. I'm looking at you, Jax Taylor. I'm your host, Ryan Bailey.
In my Chrysler, it's as big as a whale. What is up, folks? It is So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey. I am Ryan Bailey. It is Monday. Good news is we only have four more days until the weekend. Bad news is it is Monday. So I hope everybody had a great weekend. Did you guys all have a good one? I had a very nice week. The only downside is that it was great that I have my dog, but sometimes she's going through some health issues. And that was the only downside, but it was great to have her. And I had a really nice weekend. But it's one of those things. I complained last Monday about how tired I am. I have, this last couple of hours, I have just slept, and it is now 11 p.m. on Sunday night, and I feel like I've slept through Sunday, and I don't even know what's wrong. You guys, this is the week that I've talked about for many, many months now. It is the week where I travel with my parents to Clearwater, Florida. Remember Bill and Becky Bailey, friends of the pod. They actually, in a way, made the pod. My mom, if you remember, for my birthday, she said, you know what? Me and your dad, we want to take you with us to Clearwater, Florida. They are in love with Clearwater, Florida, because they went there a couple of years ago. And Clearwater, Florida, I think is a town built by Scientologists, but my mom was like, yeah, but they keep it really nice. They keep it really clean. My mom is pro-Scientology, it sounds like. But my mom, this is my birthday gift from this past April, is to travel with them because, like I've said, I've reached that point in my life where I am I'm past a certain age, and they're like, well, you're not fully taken, so you're now traveling with us. And it's always a fun feeling. So Bad It's Good is going on the road to Clearwater, Florida this week. I go back to Arizona tomorrow, and on Tuesday I will be in Clearwater, Florida with my folks. I think a couple people reached out about wanting to meet up. If that was you, please reach out to me. I was about to give my phone number on right now, and I was like, that's a dumb idea. I did that at one point when the pandemic first started, and I got a lot of wild messages, so I was told not to do that again. But just if it was up to me, I would totally give everybody my phone number. So yeah, this will be an interesting week. And also, it's going to be a great week of shows. I was so proud of last week. If you guys listened, we had Sophie, we had Ronald Richards, we had Louis Peitzman, we had the Beverly Hills recap. So many great shows last week, and we have so many great shows this week. Oh yeah, we had Watch What Crappens last week. It was just so awesome. But this week, dare I say, it competes with last week. I'm so excited for you guys to hear it. And of course, Bill and Becky Bailey will be giving their thoughts on the season premiere of Vanderpump Rules. It's always fun to watch reality shows with them because they correctly want to know, why do you do this with your life, Ryan? What's going on here? What if they're taking me down to Clearwater to put a conservatorship over me? Which, by the way, this is a very important week in the Free Britney movement. If you guys watched the Hulu documentary, which me and Sophie talk about on today's episode, it is infuriating. There's just more and more reasons to get livid about what Britney Spears has gone through. It is just shocking the amount. I'm in awe now talking about these people so much because you realize there's none of us that would want to trade our lives with her at all. And I just think that's weird. Like, shouldn't celebrity be the one thing? I mean, we used to all want that. We all used to want to be somebody. And now it's like, I would never, ever, ever want to trade for, I mean, to have to deal with Jamie Spears every day? No, thank you. So we're going to find out more about that this week. I'll keep you posted on any new updates. And I think we're just going to get right into it today because I still have to pack for Clearwater, Florida, because remember, I like to leave things until the very, very last minute. I think it gives me a sense of excitement. And it harkens back to college when I wouldn't study all semester. And then the night before I'd be like, it is time to learn chemistry. This is, you know, this Sunday night for the Monday test is the time. And this is when I'm going to figure out chemistry. But my parents got the Clearwater trip. So I'm traveling with them. And it was so funny when I was deathly ill a couple of weeks ago, I was running a 103 fever. And I said, Mom, I'm really in a bad, bad way. And she goes, sounds like somebody needs some good old Florida sunshine. I was like, Mom, I can't even get out of bed right now. And she's like, doesn't sound like you're excited for Florida. And I was like, I don't even know my name right now. And so I get these texts now from my mom of like, are you excited for Florida? Like I got one, are you getting excited? And I don't, you know, it's like, I'm getting excited. Like what I did the other, I bought this game, you guys, I bought a Never Have I Ever game, which I saw and it looked fun because you can ask your parents dirty questions and then I can find out what weird things sexually they've done to each other. No, I mean, not that, but you know, who knows what we'll find out about each other. So I figure I'll play that with one of them and I'll just secretly record them and hopefully I can play that on the podcast. I'm trying to think of fun things to entertain myself so I do get excited about going to Clearwater, Florida with my family. I think that's it. Did anybody see Dear Evan Hansen out there? It is wild. I don't know why, but Ben Platt, I know he's very talented, but he makes me laugh with the big mop of curls on top of his head. And I swear to God I've never seen that musical, you guys. It just came out in movie form. But I thought it was about a kid that came out at his high school and then he tried to kill himself. It's not about that. And then I was like, well, maybe it's about a 40-year-old that goes to high school and he's like undercover. And it's not about that. And there's just so many things it could be about. But Ben Platt is unfortunately, he does look too old to be in high school. And he acts very bizarrely in every clip I've seen. So then I was like, well, no wonder this kid doesn't have friends. You know what I'm talking about? Oh, also, I've got big news, folks. I'm not supposed to announce this, but my nephew, Watermelon, who used to be allowed to be on this podcast, I got a text from him earlier. I woke up to this text, and it was, this is great. He wrote, hey, I just made my first podcast. It's up on Spotify. Don't advertise it at all, please, or tell too many people about it yet for now. And I'm not going to tell you the name of the podcast. I'm going to listen to it first, and then I will play clips from the podcast at some point this week, and I'll give it an honest review. And if this kid doesn't have the podcast gene, I'm going to tell him to quit. I'm going to say, step off. This is my thing. Let me have this. My God. You guys, that is enough of an intro. We'll get into all of the pop culture stories. I interview somebody really cool tomorrow. And Tuesday's episode, you gotta listen to it. We have one of the Vanderpump Rules people. I think you're going to really like it. I'm very excited for this week. So many cool guests. If you want to leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, great. If you want to listen on Spotify, it's there. That's great. I don't know. Everything's great, you guys. If you owe Patreon, I just put up a Potomac recap today. And I also gave a little behind the scenes dish about the podcast because I heard a lot of people like that. That is it. I'm going to try to go back to sleep and pack and do all that stuff and cram for my chemistry test tomorrow. So I hope you guys have the best week ever. I think we're going to have a great week. Let me know if there's anything I can do for you, and I will talk to you guys on Tuesday. Here is Sophie Ross.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to your Monday episode of So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey. We are doing it again. We got 5 more days until the weekend, so let's make them count. I am going to start by making mine count by talking to, I'll just say it, she's my best friend. She's the light of my life, the wind beneath my wings. She's not only a pop culture commentator. You can find her on Twitter. You can find her writing. She's doing a great service for all of the young ladies and men out there. Miss Sophie Ross, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for the introduction, Ryan.
No, I noticed you're in full makeup. Is that correct? Did you do that for the show? Is this?
I'm in my makeup from last night. And I haven't showered since Friday.
Wait a sec. I can understand the full makeup. You go out, you have a great night, you sleep in the makeup, but you put on a full face of makeup, but you didn't shower yesterday?
Yeah, because I went out. I was just going out to like brunch with my aunt. And so I was like, oh, I'm just going to throw on some makeup, meet her out, come home, whatever. And I ended up just staying out all day and night. So it just was a random day.
I blame Jake Gyllenhaal for this. He started this not showering craze, I feel.
And then today I'm just like, I'm so hungover and don't feel well. So I've just been laying on the couch all day.
I feel that, brother. It is not, I had a couple drinks last night and it just, I don't know. Like I just was reading Chrissy Teigen celebrated 70 days of sobriety and I'm like, I'm like, man, I want to celebrate 70 days of sobriety. Like it just, it's fun in the moment. And then you have to just pay. And it just sucks. The older you get, there's like no bargaining. It's either, it's like a hit or miss. Sometimes it's like, oh, the hangover gods are good to you. And sometimes they're just so evil, you know?
I know. And I know that this is like very obvious, but I really have learned the lesson that chugging water while you're drinking like helps so much. And I like did not drink enough water yesterday. We just got a bunch of like marg pitchers. Well, that's, and now I'm paying for it today.
And that's the other thing. It's like, as you get older, you're like, I can't have those sugary drinks. I just, and it's like, that should be another obvious thing too, but it's like the sugary drinks are sometimes the best drinks out there on the market, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I can't say no sometimes.
And I believe also the seltzers are evil. I saw a Bud Light pumpkin seltzer the other day and I realized we've gone way too far. Like that's disgusting. Bud Light should not be in a fall flavor.
Okay, I kind of want to try that.
No, that's like, good. That's like that Kraft macaroni and cheese ice cream that came out a couple months ago. That's disgusting.
Yeah, that sounds good, actually. No,
like I want a Ralph just thinking about it. So what have you done all day? What was the hangover food?
The hangover food. I got fried chicken and mac and cheese and a milkshake from this place called Blue Ribbon Fried Chicken.
Oh, yeah, that's perfect. And what did you watch all day?
I've been watching football. The Bengals won today. That's my team. Let's go.
Is that the team with your crush on it? The guy?
Yeah. Joe Burrow. He's so sexy.
Did he do good today?
Yeah. He killed it today. He threw like 3 touchdowns at least or 2 touch. I don't know, but yeah, he's sexy and he played really well today.
He's sexy. You know, it's so funny. Yeah. I hate sports, but there's this show on HBO called Hard Knocks.
And it follows Hard Knocks.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. Like, I watch all 5 episodes of Hard Knocks every season and I get so into it, but then I'll never touch a football game. But if they did a reality show the entire season, I'd watch every flipping game.
Wait, they're doing that now. They're going to do Hard Knocks during the season.
I'm fully in. I'm totally. Yeah. See, it makes me invested in the players and stuff, you know?
Yeah. No, I love Hard Knocks. I think that's also because the Bengals were on Hard Knocks in 2009 and 2013. And I got super into, like, when you see the behind the scenes, it just makes them so likable. And you, like, want to root for them on the field because you know, like, their background. And a lot of them have, like, been through a lot of shit. And, like, you know, it's just, it's inspiring. I find athletes, this sounds really cheesy, but I find athletes extremely inspiring because no one works harder than that. Like, having to wake up at like 5 a.m. every day and like work out and get physical every single day and put your body through hell. Like you have to want it. Like that's inspiring.
No, I mean, they're really, I forgot what season it was. They focused on this guy where he was like one of the bigger players, but he was just talking about like, he even set up a bed at the training facility because he's like, I need my sleep. I need that. Like, it's like such a specific, like, mind frame you get into to win. And that's why even like a lot of people will make fun of Tom Brady. And to have that kind of, mentality of even your diet. Remember when we read about his diet and it was so weird, but it's like, hey man, if that works for you, but at the same time, like you have to give up so much to be successful in this world. Yeah. And I think people don't realize that. People think it's just like this lucky break, even with actors and like, you know what, you know, Lady Gaga, even like, I was just looking at her. She came out last night for they're opening a new museum for the Motion Picture Academy. And she came out and like Katy Perry, Cher, all of these people were there. And I saw that Lady Gaga documentary of just what these people put themselves through physically and mentally to be where they are. And I'm just like, I couldn't do it. I could not do it.
Yeah. Oh my God. It's actually crazy. I agree with you. It's like, you really, really, really have to want it. And like, how bad do you want it? It takes a very specific person to be able to succeed in some of these jobs, including like, you know, being an athlete or whatever. Cause it's like, you know, if you don't want it, you're going to fail.
Well, which leads into our first story actually is all about this, is about like, you know, I would not want it. I would not want Britney Spears' life. I watched, I don't know if you got to see the New York Times documentary that came out on Friday. It was called Controlling Britney Spears. It was part 2.
Is that the Netflix one?
No. See, this is what's crazy. So on Friday morning, so we're now in a week of Britney Spears documentary. So CNN, Sunday night, you'll hear this tomorrow on Monday, but they'll replay it on Wednesday. They are playing a documentary called Toxic about Britney Spears that has Ronan Farrow, Gia Tolentino, all of these people. But then Hulu announced Friday morning that night they were doing Controlling the Britney Spears Story, which they snuck it up on us. They never told anybody because they did the first part in January. Remember, we talked about it in January called Framing Britney Spears. And this is called Controlling Britney Spears. You can find it on Hulu right now, you guys. It is so well done. And they have one of the people that worked for Black Box Security, who was Britney Spears' security detail through the entire conservatorship. You guys, it is so wild what they have put her through. And this was done very, and they had Felicia Fifi, her assistant. And it even like, once again, it showed how they try to split all of like the people close in her life. Like Jamie's dad or Britney's dad, Jamie, told Felicia, her assistant, that Britney did not want her on the tour, did not want to see her. You better stay out of her way. Or Britney said she would never go on stage, which was all false. Because Felicia said, okay, I'll go on tour, but I'll just stay away from her. And he's like, you make sure you do that. And then the final show, she accidentally saw Britney, and Britney ran up to her and said, where have you been? Oh my God, Felicia. They keep people away from her. And it was admitted they had recording devices in her bedroom.
Oh my God.
In her bedroom.
It's completely fucked up. It really is just so disturbing. And I mean, again, there's like so many documentaries now at this point, which I'm glad. Like a lot of people are like, oh, people are just monopolizing on Britney again. It's like, no, they're shedding light to a situation that people like, the more attention this gets, the better her situation will hopefully get. But that trailer for the Netflix one where she was calling in 2009 about ending her conservatorship in 2009, 10 plus years later.
Oh my. So you guys, so Toxic comes out Sunday night. We already had the one come out on Friday, which I highly suggest. And then Britney versus Spears comes out, I think, on Tuesday or Wednesday, because the court hearing is this week as well. So they're all trying to come out at the same time, which is kind of just weird that they're on top of each other. But it looks like Britney versus Spears is going to be another well done documentary, because Aaron Lee Carr, the documentarian, is doing it. And I'm a big fan of her work. But it is, I agree with you completely. This sheds light, even though Britney did come out and say that first New York Times one was so hard to watch. But I got to say, it really does shed light. It really does, I think, help show how ridiculous and weird this whole situation is. And it's been going on for 13 years.
Yeah. Yep. Like, and it's about time. Think about how much she has been suffering in silence and in secret. And, you know, for a while, it really was just this tiny, tiny, like the Free Britney movement. A lot of people thought it was a conspiracy theory. Like the fact that, you know, it took this long for people to finally, you know, realize what she's been going through. Like, I'm sure it's been very vindicating for Britney having all of this explode in such a way. So, yeah, if anything, it's going to hopefully just make her situation better.
But also when this kind of, this thing happens for this many years, and Britney even says in certain court things of, I feel like the court is not listening to me, that does affect your mental state. Like, you know, the human brain and our mental states are very fragile. And if something keeps happening, you're like, this has done more damage to Britney than it ever has helped her. I mean, she doesn't know how to live a normal life at this point. The conservatorship kept her from like drugs and stuff like that, but it never taught her how to live a life as an adult. And it kind of infantilized her and made her more childlike and damaged her mind more in the long run, where I'm like, I hope she can get the help she needs, because this is such a mind fuck.
Let's be clear that emotional abuse and, you know, constant gaslighting will do permanent damage.
Yeah.
To
yeah.
Like that emotional abuse, the amount of emotional abuse and gaslighting that she's probably endured, yes, will absolutely do permanent damage. Like that is completely something that affects you for life, just in general. So, it's already, so much damage has already been done. You can't undo that. It makes me really, really sad that you can't, you know, give her back all of these years. Like, we can't do that. But like the least we can do now is to know, you know, talk about her situation and kind of help her get freed. Like, that's
just weird how we can
now.
It's weird though, like with pop culture and stuff, you can sometimes, we all just kind of accept things and don't question them. And then it becomes this kind of like, why didn't we think this was weirder sooner? You know, like it's just weird how we kind of made jokes about it, or it was always Britney's Instagram's weird, or, you know, it's very interesting you know, and then it builds to a boiling point and eventually something happens, but it just takes so long for anything to happen. Like we talked about last week with the Jinx, the wheels of justice go so slow that I mean, it's so frustrating that you're like, this is an open and shut case at this point. So it'll be interesting to see what comes out this week. Another story that they had on this documentary, Sophie, was that they said, you know, Britney was walking through the mall in Vegas on the way to her show. She saw a pair of shoes she wanted, and she asked if somebody could go get them because she was on an allowance and the security guards held her credit cards and stuff. And they said, no, you can't have those. It was a pair of Skechers shoes at the Skechers store, and they would not let her have them. So her wardrobe assistant, who is on the documentary, said, you know what? I'm going to put them through as a business expense. We'll say they didn't work for the show and you can take them home. But that's how scrutinized it was. This Lou Taylor from this management company and this other lady, they point out, they kind of, I mean, I know there's a lot more to this, I'm sure, but it really comes off as demon soul sucking financial people that really are after money at a certain point and look at people as commodities, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. It's crazy when you think about how much money Britney has made her empire and the fact that she is not able to buy whatever the fuck she wants is infuriating. She deserves everything in the world and more.
Yeah.
I
get fired up about this because it is just kind of infuriating, because I feel like when there's right and wrong and we actually see it, it's just frustrating because it doesn't mean that it's over. Like, you know, it's not like movies. Like, there's no end to this. I don't know what actually happens. And it does seem like sometimes people are evil, that it's kind of black and white. And at a certain point, it really does seem like her dad got off on controlling her, you know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Jamie Spears is so fucking evil. So he deserves to be behind bars 100%.
Well, it really is conservatorship abuse, they point out. It is abuse, and especially because he had a financial stake. He had 1.5% of the receipts from any kind of merchandising or show performance. And that's a lot of money when it comes to somebody like Britney Spears, on top of paying himself a $16,000 salary per month plus expenses. And not just that, then she was paying for all of these other people. She was, she had all of these people's payrolls under her. Like, she was still all these people were her responsibility. It just really messed. But that's why I was just saying, we were talking, I was just like, I wouldn't want to be that kind of star. Like, it's like, these are supposed to be aspirational people. And there's no flipping way I would want to be any part of Britney Spears.
No. Yeah. I mean, who would? It's really, really, really sad. And it's also just so like crazy, like the whole like, she's worth $60 million. No, she's worth way more than that. Where's the money? Like, what is going on with her estate? Like, they've already stolen so much from her. She needs to get all of that back and more. Like, yeah. I just really, we need justice for Britney. It's sad. Like, we can never give those years back to her that she's lost. Think about how much more she could have given the world, and how many, you know, like, just if Britney had been happy and free, what kind of career she could have given us. And instead, she's just been kind of, you know, this weird, like, loner laughingstock because of her family. Like, yeah. It's really sad.
I don't know. And this is a trigger warning, or if you have kids, I want you to know this is going to be a sexual story of nature. So get the kids out of the room. But did you hear of this new thing going around within the Mormon community called soaking?
Yeah, obviously. Me and my
friends. What do you mean, obviously?
Me and my friends talk about soaking all the time. We're like, let's go soak, baby. Wait. Let's soak tonight.
Wait, you knew about this before a couple days ago?
Yeah, from just BYU stories.
Oh my God. I just found out about this the other day, and I've thought about this nonstop. And you guys,
it's crazy. No, me and my friends are literally obsessed with talking about soaking because it's the funniest thing in the world.
Okay, so guys, this is what's happening supposedly. My friend Caitlin on Twitter had posted this, and this was the first time I'd heard about it. And this is what's going on, supposedly. Some Mormon teens have convinced themselves that putting a penis in a vagina and then not moving is not sex. That's called soaking. And then jump humping is when you get someone to jump on the bed next to you soaking to get some friction going without you technically causing the movement. And then this tweet was included a little TikTok that says this girl is jumping on a bed and says, when your bestie is called to soak in a BYU dorm and you have to jump hump for her.
Yeah.
Who comes up with this stuff?
Horny Mormons that, you know, want loopholes.
But it's like, crazy. How, I mean, it really is like fascinating of like, who's the first Mormon that came up, you know what I do? I want to respect God, but what if, and just go with me here. What if I put a penis in you and we just left it there? And then we get our buddy Randy to jump on the bed and see what, like, who's the pioneer? Who is the Neil Armstrong of soaking? Who's the first one?
I don't know. I don't. That's a great question. I'd love to meet that person.
I'm more fascinated that you've known about this more than 2 days. Yeah. I just found this out.
Who's trying to soak tonight, baby?
who's looking to soak? In fact, I was like, oh my God, I didn't know the way I have sex has a name. This is amazing.
One time for my girlfriend, I was like, do you want to go home and soak? And she was like, we can't, Sophie. Like, we
I mean, and the poor person, I love the poor person that's always like, I'm always the jump humper. I'm always the guy having to jump on the bed, always a bridesmaid, never a bride. and I'm just like, but it reminded me, did you remember that story back in the day of Farrah Abraham from Teen Mom? Was that, I know she did the porn backdoor Teen Mom, but supposedly back in the day, because she was really religious in high school, that a lot of girls will have anal sex, butt sex.
Yeah, girls at my high school would do that.
But, and because that wasn't considered sex.
Yeah, that was like the loophole. And then they would like be the person known for butt sex. And I'm like, oh, that's so respectable and Christian.
And I love the guys who are like, hey, yeah, that's great. Let's see. I'll do the butt. Yeah.
Yeah. I love
girls.
No, again,
girls
it's
once again, putting themselves through one of the, like, I mean, what I imagine is a pretty harsh like thing. Just, I mean, that's wild. Like, you know what? I mean, what are the other loopholes? If you have a glass eye, you know, like that's
well,
not.
Well, I think that, you know, just anything that isn't penis in the vagina pumping is like, they just do it a lot of, and they're like, yeah, it's not sex, but it like, everyone knows. Yeah, it is. Like it is.
I mean, I just do it out of the height of laziness. Like, I just want to just lay here. It is so just. I'm just soaking. That's all I want to do. And then
just soaking, baby.
And that's what I wonder, like why a lot of young, obviously a lot of young religious folks, probably that's why they get married early. So they can actually create the fiction for themselves under God's plan, you know? speaking of romantic relationships, we have a big celebration because Kymanda are officially united. Kyle Cook and Amanda Batula from Summer House and the upcoming Winter House have finally hitched. They're married. I was fascinating watching all of the stories and all that stuff. Did you watch all of the stuff?
Yes. Oh my God. It looked so fun. And she looked beautiful.
They really are such an attractive couple, you know?
Yeah, it looked so amazing and like full of love. And I'm sure it's just like such a relief for them to like have it over with after 3 freaking years.
Well, I think they even tweeted that today of like, it's been like 1,051 days or something like that. Yeah. Thank you for supporting us. But it looked like everybody was happy. But the main thing is that all you guys on Instagram, all you ladies and dudes on Instagram, you guys are so horny for Carl and Luke and anybody in a suit at this wedding. I mean, literally everybody's like, I just got pregnant from Carl. Like how horny is everybody? You guys need to go soak or something because I'm like, I'm now getting to be and this is just pure jealousy. I'm getting to be a little disturbed about how many blue steel photos Carl's taking. You know, like he's really into those photos. You can tell
I know.
There's never like it's a smile. I sense that he's the guy of like, give me your phone. Let me take a look. Okay, that's a good one, you know?
Yeah. I do love that they had like the Kardashian photo booth though, and like Carl like took photos on his own in the photo booth.
I didn't see that. That's amazing.
Look, it's this one.
Oh, okay, yes. And Carl, by the way, Carl does look amazing, but it's like I would love to know boots on the ground there, who if anybody Carl went home with, if Luke went home with anybody. I saw cameras, so this is definitely an episode, which is exciting in a way, because I saw Ian Gelfand, the producer of Summer House, was there. But also just imagine being a regular looking dude at that wedding. Like, I would not have wanted to be there. Like, imagine just being like, I would have been a troll at that wedding, you know? Like,
yeah.
You can't compete with that kind of level of, like, you know, good looking guyness.
Yeah. Oh my God. Everyone looked so good. I'm actually going through Amanda's Instagram story right now. She looked amazing. Like, she looked so beautiful. And, like, obviously Kyle did too, but Amanda was the star of the show.
I wonder if they had to have written their own vows.
I know. Oh my God. And it looks like Bravo cameras were there. So,
oh,
like,
totally. That's it. They're fully filming this for an episode, which obviously
I'm excited.
I wonder if it's a special episode, or I wonder if it's a continuation or the end of the Summer House season.
I bet it's probably like the finale of the season is what I would guess. Cause they always do the finale, like a huge, like whatever it is, event or party. That would make sense. If it was like a special, that'd be really cool. But like, wouldn't we know? Like, what did the news have come out about that?
Now, I got scared because I DM'd Lindsay yesterday after a photo and I said, no Hannah, right? And she saw it, but she didn't respond to it. And she didn't even heart it, which usually she'll heart like that, you know. And then I got really paranoid. Was Hannah at the wedding? No, I didn't see any photos. I didn't see any photos. But then I was like, maybe Hannah was like, but then I was like, oh, they wouldn't. Like, it's a their day. They wouldn't just surprise the audience with Hannah, you know?
No, she wasn't, because even in the Us Weekly article about the wedding, Amanda was like, I wasn't sad that she wasn't there. I'm just sad at, you know, how we got to this point. Like, it was like a quote like that, like confirming that she wasn't there. So there's no way Hannah was there.
I didn't know if Hannah did like 5 minutes of stand up at the wedding.
Oh my God. That would ruin anyone. Oh. You wouldn't want that. Yeah. That would ruin the entire night.
If I ever get married again, I'm having Hannah do 10 minutes of stand up. I've decided. Like, just do crowd work. Like, hey, how many people from LA out in the audience tonight? You know,
that would not be a good start to a marriage.
Well, no, I got to say, though, I was looking at all those things and that was a thought through my head of like, man, Hannah really screwed this up in a certain way. Like, she could have been here. Like, she could. She would have been like, I do. It's like the Return of Vanderpump Rules, where like Jax and all those guys, I wonder how hard it is going to be for them to watch these things go on without them. And I think the same thing of Hannah, because, you know, in the moment you've got to, like, you know, you're fired up and you're like, fuck this. I don't like Kyle. I don't like this. But then when you see things like this, it's like, you know, in a way it's like, she should be out there having fun with all these people. Like, she, you know, there's a way she kind of screwed this up by her ego, you know?
Completely. I think anyone with, you know, an ounce of foresight would have been like, no, I probably shouldn't burn bridges with everyone on the show if I want to like stay relevant. But, you know, she doesn't have foresight and she turned out to be a very, you know, bizarre narcissistic person and ruined her Bravo career. Because look, Chat Room is still on without her. Summer House looks like it's going to be just fine without her. Like, her ego just got way too big.
Winter House is less than a month away, you guys.
I'm pumped.
And it looks like a really fun thing. We see. Oh, and by the way, that's the other photo we saw was what I'm calling Craig Orbo, because it just rolls up the tongue. Craig Orbo is their couple name. But they're just way too good looking at people. Like, they're really just stunning. Like, they're both just hot. Like, they're like, Paige is hot. I hate to say it, but Craig is hot. And then they take hot black and white photos and it's just a bunch of hotness. Was that an official coming out as a couple photo?
I don't know. I honestly don't know what to believe, because it totally could just be like a PR, like clout chasing. They both have shows to promote. So I don't know. I don't know what to believe, but apparently she's been, I don't listen to her podcast, Giggly Squad, but I think she's been talking about like how she met a guy's parents. And I think it was Craig. She was at a wedding with him in like New Hampshire.
Well, yeah, he was, he brought her as a date last weekend at a wedding.
Yeah. And she like met his parents maybe. So like, who knows? It could be real. I don't know.
I wonder if Craig's ever soaked with Paige. Austin is the jump pumper. Austin's like, come on, Craig, come on.
Oh my God. Yeah, that's definitely what they do.
And by the way, we saw Austin was at the wedding. Dude, I don't know why I just don't like that dude's face now. Like, and I know that's like, there's no, There's no reason for that comment. It's a horrible comment, but I just, every time I see him, it's like an Eddie Haskell vibe where, like we've said, it's like the bully from an 80s movie. Like, I don't know why. He might be the nicest guy in the world, but I just get like a big D-bag vibe from him.
I know, villain from an 80s movie. I know, especially in his like winter house clothes that he's going to be wearing soon. Like, he's going to have that like 80s movie ski resort, you know.
You talking to me, bud? Hey, bud.
Race down the mountain. The winner gets hate.
We're playing for pink slips.
We're racing for pinks.
If you win, you get Lindsay. If I win, I get Lindsay.
Okay, that is a storyline that I'm very excited about, though, speaking of which.
Yeah, and also, then why do you go on TV and supposedly the storyline is he hooks up with Sierra and Lindsay? If you're on TV, why would you, like, what would ever possess you to be like, yeah, on TV, I'm going to show that I'm a D-bag and cheat on both of these ladies with each other? Like, you know, I mean, are you just like, this will make good TV at this point? Like, what would possess you to show how potentially evil you are on TV?
Attention, relevancy. I mean, like, I feel like Austin, I don't know. For some reason, he's been a douche and people still, like, you know, deal with him and put up with him and kind of like him on Southern Charm. But he's been a douche for years. It's kind of just who he is.
So also, I saw one photo last night where Lindsay looked hammered. She looked like she had a 1,000-yard stare. And it was like, remember that episode of Summer House last season where she went like, glug, 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 glug. Like, she was so drunk, she wasn't speaking. She's like, glug, glug, glug.
Yes.
She looked like that, Lindsay. You know?
Drunk Lindsay. It really did look like, if there was one Bravo event that like I would have wanted to attend, it's that. Like, it looked like so much fun.
Unless it was just like, do you think it was just Loverboy only in terms of alcohol?
Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if it was just like Loverboy branded everything and only Loverboy drinks. But no, you have to have
like, and that's a drinking squad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Another thing in the Bravo universe that, so they filmed like, so the girls trip, which is like the first season of Real Housewives All-Stars, which they were calling it. Now I think it called like Ultimate Girls Trip on Peacock. It's going to be coming out in November. But they've already finished filming season 2 of this at Dorinda's Bluestone Manor. And Vicky and Tamara and Brandy Glanville, Eva Marcel. It's a really, what's her name from Beverly Hills that used to be, oh, Taylor Armstrong is in it. And we got a cast photo this week where Dorinda looked 3 sheets to the wind and her feet, if you looked at them, were all cross-legged. And
yeah.
Yeah, it was an amazing photo. But then a story came out, I don't know if it was Dumois or something, saying that Vicky told all of the ladies that if you got the vaccine, you're going to die. And I'm like, that is, well, first off, I thought you had to have the vaccine to even film. And I think Bravo and Cocktails, or Cocktails and Gossip, whatever their new name is, said, like, she DM'd Vicky and said, so you got the jab? And Vicky responded, yes.
God, I was just talking to my friend who's getting married in October, and there is so much to plan. You gotta do the food, you gotta do the food tasting, you gotta book the venue, talk about the DJ, and then not to mention all of the emotion that goes into this. And then all the while you're like, ooh, what would I do if I had a wedding? I've been a part of a lot of weddings over the years, and it's an incredibly stressful process. You go from this newly engaged bliss to overwhelmed by invitation paper and flower colors in the blink of an eye. So using Zola helps with wedding planning from start to finish, and it makes every decision easier so you can stay in your bliss. With Zola, you can plan your entire wedding in one convenient place. From the day you get engaged and search for the venue to the day you send out your save the dates, make your registry, and even taste that delicious cake. Zola has literally everything you need to make the whole process super easy and actually enjoyable. There's even a 5-star app that helps you plan on the go or on your couch. Zola helps couples plan the wedding they really want with tons of unique features and personalized recommendations based on a couple's preferences. Every Zola wedding is as unique as the couple planning it. They've thought of everything you'll need and have built every tool to get you to I do, including customized checklists to get you moving, keep you on track, and prepare you for what's next. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com. com.
Guys, here is the point of the show where I do a couple of ads for sponsors, and I always get so excited about this because I love when people advertise on the show. So our first one is a new one, and it is called Magic Spoon. Now, growing up, cereal for me, and I think for all of us, was one of the best parts of being a kid. And especially even after being a kid, I remember when I had the freedom to buy my own cereal, I would just buy the sugary, like name brand cereal, like Fruity Pebbles and Cocoa Pebbles and all like honey, what is it, Golden Grams, all that stuff. Because anyways, I used to love cereal, but I had to give it up because unfortunately, my body started not being able to digest highly sugary crap like that, that we really shouldn't be eating. So as you know, I've been on a weight loss journey, I feel like for my entire life. I'm trying to cut down on carbs and sugar and unhealthy food. And I realized basically I can't eat anything anymore. But this is what's really cool is that this sponsor, Magic Spoon, sent me a box of cereal and I got scared because I was like, I can't eat that. But it turns out Magic Spoon has 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and only 4 net grams of carbs in each serving. Plus, it is only, get this, 140 calories a serving. It's keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, and low-carb. And I bet you're thinking, okay, but it is horrible, probably, the taste. And guess what? It is not horrible to taste. There are all of these different flavors. They sent me cocoa, fruity, frosted, peanut butter. You can get a whole variety pack of all 4 of those. The only bad thing, you guys, is that I ate a lot of servings. So it's like, this is really good. I kept eating the servings because I'm out of control. I actually did this thing too where I mixed a bunch of them together and I put oat milk over it and it was really good. It tastes exactly like the regular cereal that I used to pig out on, and it turns out it's super nutritious. I mean, it actually has protein. That is so weird to me. It's delicious. It's super healthy cereal that really, I think it could bring joy to your mornings or afternoons or evenings or middle of the night. It's brought me joy in all of those categories. So go to magicspoon.com/sobad to grab a variety pack and try it today. And be sure to use our promo code SOBAD. That's very important at checkout to save $5 off your order. $5. Wow. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they will refund your money, no questions asked. We always talk about products like those on this show because those are the good ones. If you don't like it, they are willing to back their product. So remember, get your next delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/sobad and use the code SOBAD to save $5 off. Thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode. That is very exciting. Now, on the same health kick, our next sponsor is Ready Slim. And Ready Slim, they've advertised with us before. So this is the deal. And especially coming out of sickness, and I was doing this before I got really ill, and I started doing this again. I actually have been feeling better. And I think it might be because of doing things like Ready Slim and Magic Spoon. This last week, I have more energy. I've felt lighter. I get a good night's sleep. I'm sleeping way too much. And a couple days this week, I actually did wake up feeling super refreshed every morning. So the mornings that I did that, it turns out I was doing Ready Slim's detox teas. Ready Slim's detox teas are made with high quality, 100% organic herbs that gently boost your metabolism and help digestion while also reducing bloating and gas. I added this to my healthy lifestyle, or what I'm trying to be a healthier lifestyle, and I already have knocked off 5 pounds. So Ready Slim's detox teas are made with no fillers, no additives, and no laxatives, so they are safe to drink daily. Ready Slim's 28-day detox tea kit has everything you need. The Wakey Wakey Morning Detox Tea, which they have sent me, helps boost your energy levels to start your day off right. And then their Snoozy Night Detox Tea helps you relax and supports the natural detox process while you get your well-deserved beauty sleep. And I super need that, folks. And the best part of Ready Slim is how it aids in weight loss. Plus, it is keto-friendly. So like I said, I have been doing that in the morning and the evening, and it's kind of nice too, because tea at night, especially my mom, I grew up and she was, she would always have her cup of nighttime tea, and it really kind of makes me feel good. I feel like, oh wow, I'm doing what my mom used to do. This is kind of nice, but it's actually helping in my digestion and metabolism. So say hello to a better, brighter you. And right now, for a limited time, you can save 25% off your first order of Ready Slim's 28-day detox tea kit, plus get a free collapsible water bottle. Go to readyslim.com/sobad. That's readyslim.com/sobad to save 25% off your first purchase of Ready Slim's 28-day detox tea kit, plus, like I said, a free collapsible water bottle. readyslim.com/sobad. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Now, ladies and gentlemen, our second part of Miss Sophie Ross.
But then this story got pushed out yesterday or on Friday saying that Vicky, one of the big plot lines is Vicky comes out as very anti-vax and said that if you had the vaccine, you're going to die, which is just so intense. Imagine Vicky Gunvalson telling you you're going to die.
I really hope that doesn't end up being a plot line, because it's like, why are we even giving airtime to someone like that? You know, like, and it's just stupid. Like, are we really, is that going to be a plot line? Like, I'm not interested.
No, I really question some of these internet rumors nowadays, because remember, you can put anything on Dumois. Like, and Dumois even says it, yeah. This is just what I get. And I totally get from her perspective, but I can literally put out a rumor today. And even just coming from my account, you would have, like, Dumois would look at it and post it potentially. And I could say anything I wanted. Like, some of the stuff seems so ridiculous that I would really, like, just question, like, tell everybody to be like, you know, we'll find out eventually, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I told you I don't really look at Dumois that much anymore. And when I did look the other day, it was all, like, ads. It was, like, about, like, random brands and, like, things that I didn't care about. Like, I don't know. I just don't really. I see the Dumois things that make the rounds on, like, Twitter or Reddit or whatever it is. But otherwise, I'm, like, I don't really give them much attention anymore, because again, it's like so much of it is bullshit. There was that interesting one though that came out about Roni when Roni was filming, and it ended up being so accurate.
Oh, that it was like a flop season?
Yeah, that it was a flop season. Like, yeah, it ended up being really, like, every once in a while you'll see that there is, like, you know, some real accurate tea in there, but otherwise it's a lot of it is garbage.
Another Bravo related story is that it came out on Friday night when Andy Cohen was on your friend Jimmy Fallon's show.
Yeah.
Andy Cohen did not do any TikTok dances, but he did say that he came out. He was, you know, Andy Cohen is the ultimate carnival barker. He was like, you know, the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills reunion, it's not just one part, not just two parts. And Jimmy's like, what?
Yeah.
It's like so.
And then Jimmy was like, not three parts.
Is it 4 parts? So it's a 4-part Real Housewives of Beverly Hills reunion. And everybody was like, fuck yeah. Oh my God. And like me being a glass half empty kind of guy, I was like, oh, we have to deal with this for a month. Like, I have to deal with because what it's going to be every flipping week is the last 2 minutes are going to be amazing. And it'll be like, next week, the climactic second part. And then it's going to be another one where the last 2 minutes are amazing. And then the third week's the last 2 minutes are amazing. And then we have to wait for the fourth part to really get to all potentially the juice. And I don't know if my heart can wait. Like, I don't know. Like, can we like air 2 a week? Like, I think the making us wait a month is just too much. It's like our nervous systems can't handle that.
Yeah, no, I'm prepared to be disappointed by it. Honestly.
Well, I'm prepared to love it. I just don't want to wait. I see, because I really do think this is such a great season that I'm even kind of interested in the small shit. Like, I want to see Sutton and Crystal go out at it from the first couple of episodes. I want to see a whole segment dedicated to Kathy being weird as hell. I want to see, you know, and by the way, after watching this week's episode with them down at Del Mar, I kind of started to come out like, Kathy, no wonder Kathy was friends with Michael Jackson. Kathy is like an 8-year-old girl herself. She is an Arrested Development person.
Yeah.
She comes off like an 8-year-old. Like, she doesn't know how to open wine bottles. She's like, I mean, she calls, like, and that is offensive. She called her staff the lady, but I kind of think she just seems like a child. Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm, somebody told me not to make excuses for her, and I get that. But I don't think she's as evil as Ramona. I think she's childlike, you know?
Well, I think that she, first of all, has been, you know, rich and coddled for a long time now and has had, you know, help for everything. So she's never had to do anything herself for a really long time. And I also think, and I read this like theory maybe on Twitter, I don't know, but Paris taught Kathy how important it is to put on a fake persona. So I think a lot of Kathy's persona is probably, you know, put on for the cameras. I don't know how genuine it is.
But I will say, if that is even the case, they do a great job at it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I really think, you know, sometimes I can sense when people are fully acting, and I can maybe sense that a little with Kathy, but I will say the character she is locked into is a really solid character. It's like, it's like Kenneth from 30 Rock, where I'm like, I really like Kenneth. I don't think he could do any other character, but I really love that actor and what he does with Kenneth. And Kathy's the same way. Like, I really love this persona Kathy is playing. Who knows if that's really her or not, but I don't plan on being friends with Kathy in real life. So I'm fine with just seeing this Kathy, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's fine. It's fine. I think that, you know, it's kind of worn thin for me. I know a lot of people are still obsessed with her, and I'm just like, eh. What did she bring to the season
besides, you know,
a few funny one-liners?
Sophie, she's such a spice. She's like a perfect spice. She's like, you. It's like, I don't know sports, but like, isn't there sports players that are like, they just come in for like some rushing yards? She did some rushing yards. She got him further. She got him to the first down line or whatever, you know? We need her at certain moments.
I do appreciate her character this season. I think that a lot of people are giving Crystal shit for not bringing anything to the season. It's like, well, what did Kathy bring?
Fine. See, Crystal, I think I already, and I've said this, like, I can't wait for Crystal's second season because I think she's going to really get into it because Crystal's very opinionated, like a housewife should be. We just haven't been able, like, I was wondering, like, the conversation this past week at the table, which was, what was your thoughts on that when Rinna was like making Garcelle, own it, Garcelle,
own it, Garcelle.
And then like, that was such a bullying bullshit.
Don't even get me started on Rinna. Do not get me started.
Wasn't that? And then they all go, and Dorit was like, do you feel better, Garcelle? Like, it was like fucking Midsommar. It was like,
yeah, they were really gaslighting her. They were gaslighting her hard. And yeah, the viewers, like, did not like that.
Break down to break through. And like, Rinna goes, Rinna like doing that, like touching her heart when Garcelle was like, what's it like? I go into a room every time feeling less than. It was a beautiful moment. And Rinna goes, oh, and she put her hand to her heart. And I was like, you put your hand off your heart.
Yeah.
It was so bad.
She's such a bad actress. Yeah. That was like horrifying to watch, honestly, because it shouldn't take Garcelle having to break down for them to listen to her. And I want to just know what their definition of honest is, because Garcelle has been nothing but forthcoming about everything, how she feels, you know, like everything. Like, she's been extremely forthcoming and honest. Has Rinna been honest about anything? No. Has Kyle been honest and Dorit been honest about the conversations they've been having behind Erica's back? No.
You know, it is funny though. Like, if you really think about it, what has Rinna shared with us about it? What has she really owned in her personal life? We've never had a Rinna-centric storyline. I mean, they've been her daughters or they've been her lip, but like, where is, I want to know Rinna's life, because it seems like Rinna's life is just waiting for somebody to say her name or to say one of her, like this past week. I don't know if you had followed that Watch What Happens Live thing where Sutton was on.
Yes, I love that.
Fourth time Sutton's been on Watch What Happens Live this season. Dorit has still never been on, which is so weird to me.
Andy knows she would just talk and stress him out, and like, he'd have to cut her off a million times.
It is funny how that really is Dorit's rap. Like, it seems like she really does do that. That Kathy Hilton scene of her not listening this week to Dorit go on and on was hysterical. But also, I want to point out that Sutton got double the ratings of Lisa Rinna on Watch What Happens Live. And you're like, it's not a contest, but it really is to me.
Yeah.
But she brought up you guys in there saying, You know what's weird about Garcelle not thanking Harry for his bolognese, but fuck, I don't, I'm so tired of Harry's bolognese, was that I guess Sutton goes, well, I shouldn't say this. I'll say, but I bought Lisa and Harry two tickets to the Elton John fundraiser gala. And Lisa, within 2 minutes of Watch What Happens Live going on, she had immediately on her Instagram story says, no, I was invited by Sir Elton John. He is the one that invited. And Sutton was like, well, okay, but I did pay $10,000 for you to each sit at my table. And there was photographic proof of this with Jennifer Tilly, Sutton Strack's best friend, the actor, and they all took a photo together. And then Lisa wouldn't let it go. Like, Elton John personally had us there, and it became this, and especially on Twitter, people are going back and forth. I personally don't care, but I do know that Sutton did buy a table at $10,000 a head, and it really seems like Lisa Rinna has always been somebody, and I said this on Twitter, that is dependent on the kindness of strangers. Lisa will gladly accept something free. And I, by the way, I love free shit myself, but Lisa will gladly accept a free ticket to that. Like, Lisa gets free invited to a lot of places through a lot of rich people. And I think, like, Sutton back in the day, she was like, Lisa Rinna, wow, that's pretty funny. Like, that's a housewife and that's pretty cool. I do want to pay for her ticket. But Lisa fought, like, she kept posting shit. And at the end of the day, Lisa, just say thank you. Just say thank you and let it go. Like, why are you arguing about a gala fundraiser event? Even Sutton came out on Us Weekly and said, it's not that big of a deal. Like, I don't care. It's not that big of a deal. Like, and also Lisa goes, third strike, you're out in regards to Sutton. And Lisa's under the false impression that her friendship actually means shit anymore. Like, I keep saying, like, who would want to actually have Lisa call? Like, Lisa's a horrible friend. So, like, okay, yeah, Sutton's out. Great. I guess you're not going to bag on her as your friend anymore?
Yeah, the Fox Force 5 has completely fallen out of fashion, especially now that Garcelle and Sutton, they're the fan favorites. They're the future of the franchise, Rinna. No one needs you. I think that this has to, I know that everyone is like, well, Rinna is, first of all, yeah, the lady doth protest too much about the whole Elton John thing. Like, come on. I think that this has to be her last season, even though Andy loves her. Like, the fan, like, reaction to her is just so, everyone is so disgusted by her.
But I kind of like being, like, I am a weird person in that I like being disgusted. Like, I kind of want her there because she gets me so riled. She's like Captain Sandy mixed with like all the people I dislike on Bravo. She's like the representation of that. And I think that's an important part to play, but I truly think she might be a disgusting person. Like, I truly think that, like, might really be.
I don't
be
even
her.
Enjoy hate watching her anymore. Like, cause she's so fake. She's not even like authentically, like, she's not authentic. Like, she's just so freaking fake. Yeah, like, please.
And I think she thinks she's awesome. And that's the other thing that cracks me up is, like, I think she thinks she's serving, honey.
And oh, I just, yeah, she does.
And I just think, I wonder if you ever get a sense when you're a celebrity, when it's like past, like when you're like, oh, this isn't working anymore. Like, I wonder if you can get a proper sense of that, or if you're just so deluded at that point by, because you'll always have your fans that kiss your ass. Even Erica Jane has still stands out there that kiss her ass. And I'm like, what are we doing? By the way, did you see that rumor of the guy, the 80-year-old she's supposedly
yes.
with?
Oh,
that
my $200 God.
Million dollar,
her new sugar daddy?
Which is like, by the way, what did you think about the Tom Girardi video of them, the paparazzi video of them like having Tom come out and he was like, hey.
So a lot of people are like, oh my God, he so clearly has dementia.
Yeah.
Are we trying to forget the fact that this is an extremely
deceptive man?
Extremely deceptive man. Like, why are we, the amount of people, I feel like there's something maybe wrong with me in that I'm such a cynic, because right away everyone was like, I don't feel comfortable sharing this video. It's so sad. Yeah. And I'm like, wait, are we just forgetting all the evil fucking shit and how he was on TV last year being completely like explaining the law to the housewives? Like, now
John Wayne rolled into the kitchen and said, you guys put him up.
All that John Wayne story we keep seeing. But okay, I get
you. And now we're supposed to take it at face value when he all of a sudden conveniently has dementia.
Well, okay, I know exactly what you're saying, because my first thing is like, this dude's lied for four decades now and in a horrible way. But what I saw in the video, I mean, just look wise, you can see he, I mean, who knows? Like, this guy could be pulling the biggest con job of all time, but it also is somebody that I'm like, two things can be true at once. He can still have lied and cheated and did shit for four decades, and he still could possibly have dementia. The man does not look well, and he did look days of like, hey, everybody, like, he had the weirdest smile on his face, the thumbs up, and he said, I'm pretty sure Erica knew I had legal issues, and I'm pretty, you know, which was kind of like a holy shit moment. But if he is a sick man, he might have just been agreeing with anything this guy was being asked. But at the same time, I was questioning myself this week of like, okay, where this man fucking ruined lives. Like, even if he does have dementia, where is the line? And I know as Americans, we are very sympathetic very easily and sometimes just fooled very easily. Where is that line of this man destroyed people's lives, stole from so many things, and Erica accepted all of that shit. Are we still supposed to be sympathetic even if he does have dementia? Like, where? And I talked to Ronald Richards last week, and Ronald Richards was like yelling at one point in this interview that I did with him, and I was like, oh shit, man, like, that guy is a pit bull. And it was like, hey man, this is cut and dry. I'm just looking for the money back. Like, cut and dry. I'm just looking to collect. I want to know where that $25 million is that Erica Jane has received. That's it. He's like, I know where $14 million is just from those Amex bills. I want to know where the rest of the money is. And he was very cut and dry. And he's like, I don't care if I look bad. I'm trying to collect money. But this is just a weird thing. Like, I don't know. Like, you think that Tom could still be putting this on?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't trust. There's nothing to trust about him. And I think it is very, very interesting. And look, my grandpa has dementia. I'm very familiar with what it looks like. I think that, you know, you could argue that, yes, he definitely looked like something was up, and the way he was acting was consistent with someone who has dementia. But why would we take that at face value? That he's putting on this act all of a sudden when it's convenient because he's in legal trouble. Like, we know this is a very deceptive, intelligent, duplicitous person. Like, why are we like eating it up? Oh, that's so sad. That's what he wants. He wants you to feel bad for him.
True. I mean, he did play the law. He did lie repeatedly.
Yeah, like, he wants you to feel bad for him because that's how he's going to get off easy. Getting people's sympathy is exactly how he will get out of this.
Yeah.
So like, the fact that people are so easily feeling bad for him just because he's like, you know, looks like a sick old man. No, don't forget all the evil shit he did and how he was literally just on Housewives last year being completely articulate and fine, which again, it happens. That can happen very fast. There's especially, you know, I'm sure a lot of trauma has happened in his life recently with getting arrested and divorced or whatever. And maybe that could I don't know, but it is very convenient that all of a sudden he's this poor little sick old man when, you know, he was a legal powerhouse just last year.
And by the way, and Ronald Richards even said that too, of like, this was a very respected man. This is a law giant. Like, this was a giant of, and before, you know, everybody knew what he was actually doing, he was a very well-respected lawyer. So this was a really, I mean, this was doubly messed up. And the fact that the California Bar Association was a part of it, I mean, it really is the darkest story out there this year in terms of law. I love that I'm like, this is the, I'm not a lawyer, this is the darkest story in law ever. But
besides the Murdoch story.
The what story?
The Murdoch story. Alex Murdoch.
What happened? What's the thing with the Murdoch murders now? Like, what's the new thing? Because he's in rehab, right?
I guess so. I don't know. Everything about it is very, very, very sketchy and doesn't add up. But I think it's pretty clear that he was behind the murders of
His wife and his son.
Like, it's pretty obvious, but it's just such a crazy story because, again, this is someone who was very respected. He was like a legal powerhouse, and he also was a personal injury or class action. Like, he was, you know, getting money for the little guys. And then it turns out that a lot of these little guys never got their settlement. So it's very similar to the Tom Girardi thing. There are so many predatory lawyers out there that are probably just still getting away with this stuff.
I pray never to be successful because I don't want to cheat people. It seems like if you're successful, you then get the opportunity to really mess with people and really like greed. Greed is like insane. And like, that's why it's so funny about the Housewives. It's almost like implodes on itself because this is a show about insane wealth and aspirational lifestyle. And like, you know, potentially Tom Girardi was funneling all of that to Erica Jane so she can brag on TV about this insane wealth. And it really kind of turns on itself because then you're like, oh, well, that's not really attractive. Like, I want to know, I want to see, like, I'm like, I think I can like Kyle because I think that money's real, you know? But who knows? Maybe even, like we said, who knows? Maybe even, like we said, Mauricio might be in shady dealings. The last thing I want to say about this is, what did you think of that last scene with Erica Jayne going like,
his family has abandoned him, and I think it's disgusting.
Oh, yeah. Like, please. What, weren't you his family? And you abandoned him too. What is
exactly. Like, are we being fucking gaslit by this show? Like, yes. isn't that exactly what she did? Like, where the fuck is, like, you abandoned him. You were his number one, supposedly. If we're supposed to believe your story that you had a real relationship with this man, then aren't you the number one person that abandoned him? And you're the number one person, like, and even if you didn't then steal any of this money, you're still a disgusting human being for leaving this man at his time of need.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know what angle she's really going for, because in no way does any of this make her look good.
It, like, seems like she's going for all angles at once.
Yeah, exactly. It's not working out.
As we start winding down, Real Housewives of Potomac, which airs again tonight, along with Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. I think Potomac's having an amazing season. It might not be the most dramatic season.
Yeah,
in the world.
I was going to say, I feel like it's kind of boring right now.
But I do think it's kind of boring, but I think all of those ladies work so well together that they are like the kind of ladies where New York used to be, where I'm like, I could just listen to these ladies go back and forth. The way they talk, it's like, so amazing. Like, they're just so fucking smart with their dialogue.
I love as much as Candace is, like, her reads are iconic.
She's really gone. Her stock is going up. Her actual album, Deep Space, her R&B album, came out this past Friday. And if Twitter is to be judged, it seems like everybody is saying it's a very good album. I've only listened to a couple of songs, and
I mean, listen,
I'm a Monique stan in terms of that fight, but I will say I appreciate how, like, you know, you really do have to work really hard to do what she's trying to do. I might not love her Twitter, and I might not love somebody that mouths off all the time, but she is one of the bright spots in the show of it. I mean, she really gets in there, and that, I mean, I will. I don't know. I'm trying to compliment. I don't know.
The foot drama with her and Mia.
Oh, you guys, she went out because Mia, what did she said? Mia has like a man foot or something like that.
She said that she called Mia like big feet or something. And then Mia was like, I'd rather big feet than crusty feet. And like posted a picture of Candace, like zoomed in on Candace's feet from like 2016 and her feet looked fine. And then Candace was like, now I told your handsome ass not to come out. And just calling her handsome is like the most subtle, amazing dig.
Because like, you're like, okay, yeah, you like, cause then the reader goes, oh my God, I can see exactly what that slam is. And it's like, Mia's a very beautiful woman, but it is fun. Cause then you're just like, damn, like, does she have mannish feature? Like, you're like, oh my God. And then, but then Mia also did, cause she said last week on Twitter, she said, like, it was kind of a weird thing. She said Chris should toss her salad, Candace's husband, in the kitchen or something. And it was kind of a weird tweet. Like, I respect the effort, but it didn't make complete sense. And then Chris was like, oh, I don't need you to toss my salad. I like darker ladies or something. Or like, I like my, and Chris is another weird tweeter. Like, they're like, Chris is, he'll always be like, who wants to get into it with me tonight? And I'm like, okay,
Chris. Like, always so like aggressive on Twitter.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yeah, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So, the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
So I think, I mean, it's one of those shows that I can watch. It's not like Beverly
they're
Hills
just
where
entertaining on their own without all the, I think that right now my standards are so high with legal drama. I'm like, Salt Lake City legal drama, Beverly Hills legal drama. Like, I need someone to get like indicted by the feds.
I was like, will somebody shank somebody on Potomac so I can watch it? Well, that's like Potomac, I can almost even watch on Monday and I know I'll really enjoy it. Because watching Salt Lake and Potomac back to back, I think is very, I don't know, for some reason, like, it's weird. It's like hard to do for me because I get really invested. Salt Lake, what are you thinking about this season? We're going to have the third episode of Salt Lake on tonight. And how are you feeling about it so far?
I love it so far this season. I'm really into, you know, the Meredith and Jen feud because I don't know. I just feel like Meredith, like seeing her get so angry and in, like, clearly this is something that's really bothered her. So it feels like genuine beef. And I think it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out with Lisa, who clearly, you know, is trying to ride both sides. And then Whitney, I don't really understand how her storyline is just like about sex with her husband because I really don't want to hear about that.
Whitney had a great, the cake moment with Whitney was so, like, it was so real funny to me that I was like, these are such great real moments. But yeah, like, I'm curious what the sex storyline will be. But at the same time, she's one of those people that I'm like, I kind of like her energy. So it'll be interesting to see what else is brought with her. I also am very disturbed by, and Heather even said this on the pod, but I do get very concerned about the relationship with Jen Shah. At a certain point, I'm like, why do you care this much if Jen Shah likes you? Like, I don't understand that mentality of like, of that scene last week with Jen Shah saying like, I feel like an outsider in this group. And I feel like I'm trying to respect everybody's opinion, but I feel like sometimes Jen Shah uses that for this misguided attention mm-hmm. when it's not true at all. Like, I feel like Jen Shah has been given so much like leeway and respect and stuff that she's not even deserved of, you know?
Jen Shah, the way that she's describing her situation is how is Garcelle's reality, but that's not Jen Shah's reality. It's an excuse.
Yes.
Like, yeah, I do think that Heather and Jen clearly have a very toxic relationship and that Heather just needs to, like, I don't know why she's so invested in that friendship. I also thought that her Watch What Happens appearance, where she kind of admitted that she knew that Jen's job was unsavory, that was very strange.
I think, like, that might have been
go down with this ship. It feels like Heather wants to go down with the Jen ship.
Well, it's weird because I know, like, you know, friendships, when they have real friendships or what they think of as real friendships, you want to protect your friend. But it's like, also don't say shit that you don't need to say. Like, we didn't need to hear that from Heather on Watch What Happens Live. And I'm like, just be, you know, be careful. Like, you got to protect yourself to a degree. And also, like, you're very well liked by the fans. Like, you don't need to burn, like, you're like, what is that? Like, don't set yourself on fire to, I don't even know what that saying I'm trying to is, but
what's the saying?
I don't know. Like, don't set yourself on fire to warm somebody up. Now I'm just making up.
Oh,
shit.
I like that. That's a good saying.
Yeah. So bad. It's good.
An idiom. That's a new idiom by Ryan Bailey.
I will sue you if you guys take that. Jen Shah is going to sell that on a shirt next week. Also, the other thing, and I think Bravo Historian pointed this out, but how disgusting is Seth Mark's soul patch?
Oh, ew, I hate his soul patch. Oh my God, I hate it so much.
I'm in Canton, Ohio, and I grew a soul patch in Canton, Ohio.
Yeah. Oh, I was not. I feel like he's kind of cringy. Like, he kind of tries a little too hard for the cameras. He was like, it's colder than a witch's asshole in here. And I'm like, you've been reciting that line.
Can you say Brooks is like, I don't like it, Dad. That's not. But Brooks is such not a weird guy. But like, I do sometimes wonder, like, I want to pay Brooks $20 to like smile and giggle and move his face. Like, he's always just so even keeled with his facial moment where I'm just like, he's trying not to smile at this point. Like, I'm like, you've trained yourself to not to make any facial movement at all.
That is,
he's a nice guy, but I know he's a nice guy, but I'm like, I sometimes get concerned that he doesn't move his face at all.
He's too young for Botox. There's no way he definitely got filler. Both of her kids. Does she have two or three kids? I think three, but
no, Brooke, I think two.
Just and then Chloe, the older daughter. Yeah. They both have fillers, obviously.
Well, they're both like, they're a gorgeous family, except for the soul patch.
Gorgeous. You know? Yeah, soul patch. I used to think that Seth was kind of on the hotter side, and then this season I'm like, no. I think Lisa's husband is hot.
You do?
Kind
the tall, doofy guy? What?
He has a good body.
Oh, you love tall. You love the tall dude.
If you follow her on Instagram, though, she always posts like shirtless pictures of him, and he has a good body.
I love the thought of Sophie flipping through Instagram going,
Oh, nice, Lisa. I like what you're working with. Hey, props to, hey, props, lady.
Actually, Lisa Barlow in general, her social media presence lately cracks me up. Like, yeah,
she's like, I love Italy. And she's like, in Italy on a boat.
She's like, so beautiful.
Also, Stu Chains was on. Like, by the way, Salt Lake is great because I just love the scenery so much. Like, they had a meeting with Heather and Jen, and Stu was there, and it looked like the Fortress of Solitude from Superman. There was like snowy crystals and all this shit. And Stu Chains literally took the fall for Jen Shaw in that scene. He fell down on the ice. Once again, taking the fall for Jen Shaw. We still don't know if he's flipped on Jen, do we? Or is it definitely confirmed that he flipped on Jen, Stu Chains?
I think now he really has, if he wants to save himself, I think that's probably just the plea deal he's getting.
Yeah.
So yeah, I would imagine yes.
We've talked Bravo this whole hour, but a couple real quick things. It's reported that The Weeknd went out again with Angelina Jolie, who is 15 years older than him. You know, people are like, I don't know. Like, I don't know if I even believe this celebrity coupling. It's an interesting celebrity coupling, but it almost makes me think that like The Weeknd and Angelina Jolie's people got around and go, wouldn't this, let me pitch my client The Weeknd to you, Angelina Jolie. Like, it almost feels like pitched and put together as a concept more than a real relationship, you know?
That's really how it does feel. Like, it doesn't, yeah, I'm not totally buying it yet.
Yeah.
I think me, just in general, I think that The Weeknd is hotter now. When he was with Bella Hadid and he had the hair, remember?
Yeah,
that was like his signature look. He's hotter now.
I mean, I mean, The Weeknd has a beautiful voice. I just think there's, it's like ever since I saw him with the lifts in his shoes that look like, he has like foot long lifts in his shoes. And that weirded me out because I'm like, when he's like, he's really concerned, like, and I understand being concerned about your height. I mean, I'm not concerned. I'm 6 foot, but I can understand being a shorter man and being concerned, but you're The Weeknd, you know, like you have this beautiful voice. Your voice makes you 7 foot.
Exactly. When a guy wears lifts, it's just like, you're insecure.
Yeah.
Own exactly. It.
That's what I'm saying.
Own it,
baby. Own it. Lisa. Weeknd, we just want you to own it, The Weeknd.
Be honest.
The Weeknd, Delilah Bell, will you make The Weeknd honest?
We find out that Kanye West, this is kind of, Netflix is, they did a preview today for a new Kanye West documentary called Genius, but it's spelled jeans, like Jesus. Genius. But I'm like, I'm so tired of Kanye West projects where he calls himself a genius. Like, let us, like, you're a genius, but let us do it for you. Like, let us shout your praise. Don't shout your own praise all the flipping time. Like, I know you love God. We all love God, but God wasn't like, I'm fucking dope, everybody. Like, I am dope. Like, isn't it a sin to be that boastful?
Yeah, real geniuses don't have to tell everyone all the time that they're, it's like the people like the Tom Girardi, like, I'm a nice guy.
Hey, pal. Nice. Hey.
Yeah. It's like, if you really are that, you don't have to go around telling people that you're that.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm bored of Kanye. Right? I'm just like, yeah, I told you I didn't really pay attention to Donda. Don't care. Haven't liked his last few albums. His albums haven't been good for a while, in my opinion. Yeah, over it.
Well, looks like Sophie will not be going to the Kanye West Stadium tour that I'm hearing that's about to go around the world.
Speaking of concerts, though, I think I am going to the John Mayer Madison Square Garden concert.
Oh, yeah.
The tickets are so expensive, though.
Guys, if anybody works for MSG listening to the pod, please reach out to Sophie or me.
Please hook me up.
Let's get some tickets for the mayor. Let's get Sophie Preggers at that mayor show.
Yes,
queen.
Fisted backstage.
Wait, Sophie, would you be willing to get fisted by John Mayer for tickets to a John Mayer concert?
Absolutely.
Would you let John Mayer's like ugliest guitar tech that he has soak with you for John Mayer tickets?
Oh my! Okay, think about it.
Think about it.
Yes, I would take a fist. I would take a fist the ass.
Oh no!
I'm sorry. Oh my god,
Miss Ross, that's my fault. I'm going to take that one.
I'm so sorry.
Finally, I saw a video of Machine Gun Kelly this week, an older video where he was at some award show. This is years and years ago, where he was, and I'm going to try to find the clip to play it here, but it was really disgusting. And he was talking to an African-American reporter, and he was talking himself like an African-American or trying to be like, and it was like,
and when with he a was, black accent.
Yes, he was doing that. And then this lady got offended by what he was saying, and she left, and he said, "Oh, go get on, you black bitch, da da da," and like called her out. Like, it was like really disgusting. And it was like, I realized Machine Gun Kelly is doing a persona. Like, he started off as rap and it didn't work. And now he is doing, you quote unquote, punk or punk light or whatever this is. But he is not like it. I don't know. And I know this is all coming to light because he got into a fight with Slipknot last week, the death metal band, or the hard, you know, heavy metal band, saying that he would rather be him than a 50-year-old still wearing masks, which Slipknot did not, and Slipknot fans didn't take too kindly. And I guess he got booed at his last festival performance this weekend in Louisville, Kentucky. But I'm telling you, the Machine Gun Kelly thing, I think, is going to be over sooner than I think it's going to be over sooner than we think. I think this guy is full of hot air. And I know that I know a lot of my listeners really like Machine Gun Kelly, but I think this guy might be full of shit.
Yeah, no, for sure.
I know he's hot. I know everybody.
He's not hot. I can't even name one Machine Gun Kelly song. He's not relevant.
I listened to his album and I thought it was okay, but I thought it was also cribbing from the Pixies, cribbing from all of it, which is fine. That's what music does. But I just don't buy him. There's something so fake about him to me. And the Megan Fox thing, it's like, this is where I'm jaded, like you are with the Tom Girardi stuff. Like, I don't care anymore. Like, I know Megan Fox is hot, but it's like the Kardashians. My eyes have seen it so much that I'm like, I don't even register it as hot anymore. I just register as it like also, why, if you're so punk rock, why do you want to go to every flipping award show? Like, yeah, you know, it's punk rock or not going.
Yeah. Aren't award shows fascist?
Yeah, I mean, like, where is, like, real punk rock? Like, I mean, like, this isn't punk rock where
you want anarchy.
Yes, like, go, like, take a dump at one of these award shows on stage. Like, do something crazy. But it seems like you play into all of this stuff. And it's, like, it seems punk rock light to me, actually, rather more than punk rock. And, yes, Megan Fox is hot. But, like, please, like, go do an acting role again. I beg of you, you know?
Yeah, I'm bored of it. I think also the Courtney Megan skim shoot was so, like, queer baity.
Oh, that's it. Oh, yeah. Courtney and them did that goth, like, and they said, are two goth girls. And I'm like, oh, my God, we're calling these goth girls now? Megan
Fox. So the opposite of goth.
I just love, like, and the fact that, like, Courtney is wearing a Travis Barker's like, you know, Five Finger Death Punch and all these metal band shirts. And it's like, you know, Courtney has never relaxed to a Suicidal Tendency song, you know?
Yeah, obviously not. Yeah. I'm like, I feel like they're so overexposed at this point that I'm just, it's worn off. I mean, it wore off a lot. You know that I never was into the Kravis stuff or the Megan and Machine Gun Kelly. It's just like, go away. Go away. Why every time I open social media, I'm confronted with it?
I am really wondering about Mason and his well-being, because remember when Kanye was with Kim, he used to love it. And Travis Scott was always around and you would see Mason like doing the rap songs and like really enjoying rap. And I don't think Mason likes metal. So I'm like, I'm wondering if like now he's like bummed that more metal is coming to his life through Travis, you know, like, and I just feel bad for that kid, you know?
I feel bad for Mason for a lot of reasons.
Finally, the Kardashians new series for Hulu had their first day of filming this past week. You guys, day one is in the books. And Kim Kardashian was on the Ellen DeGeneres show saying pretty much, I believe saying, yeah, it's pretty much the same thing as Keeping Up with the Kardashians. So I think we're just getting a cut and dry reality show from them again. I don't think it's going to be any different.
Yeah, and it's going to be boring as hell.
I'll still watch it, but I mean, yeah, it's probably going to be boring.
I'm interested to see like what the difference will be between that and Keeping Up. So I'll watch it, but it's going to be boring.
Oh, and sure. Did you see Kylie pop this week? She's got a belly all of a sudden, a big old pregnant belly.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Kylie, I was so pissed when I was reading about
the zoo thing,
Houston Zoo thing. Like, there are so many celebrities like even just walking around New York all the time, there are celebrities that just walk around and they have masks on and like they go about their lives without like making things a big deal. So it's just like so pathetic.
That's the thing. Imagine a family going to the zoo on a Sunday because that's when they shut it down. And then you get told you have to go away because Kylie Jenner's there and Kylie doesn't want you to see her face, you know?
Like, yeah. So and funny. I don't get it. I really don't get it. Like,
the zoo's big enough for everybody, by the way.
Yeah, and like how she launched Kylie Swim in the
fall. And Kylie Baby, right?
And Kylie Baby. It's like, who is her audience? Like, first of all, people are very picky about what they put on their babies. Like, what? Who is going to buy like a random Kylie Baby product that's been out for five? It's going to end in a class action lawsuit, I have a feeling.
Mm. And finally, Vanderpump Rules comes out on Tuesday.
Yes.
They put the first 7 minutes online. Did you watch it?
No, I need to go watch.
Really fun, the first 7 minutes. DJ James Kennedy, we find out, is Cali sober, which means he smokes weed still, which I think is very interesting. I'm excited to see that.
Yeah.
But it seems like it has a good energy. I've got my hopes up. You might be hearing somebody from Vanderpump Rules on the podcast this week. I'm very excited about the interview. Went great. So I think that'll be on Tuesday to celebrate the premiere of Vanderpump Rules. But I just want to remind everybody, this used to be my favorite reality show of all time. So I'm really hoping they can pull it back in. I really do have high hopes to, you know, and maybe it's just fun. Maybe that's what we need. Maybe it's just going to be a fun show. But I do hear that we have a lot of, in even the end of the first episode, some Lala Ariana fighting. I hear we get some Charlie Lala fighting.
Oh, I'm excited for that.
So very excited for this new season. That is it. There are so many more stories to talk, but we'll have next Monday to talk about it all. Sophie, is there anything coming up this week that we need to support you with?
I'm just really, really, really excited for Vanderpump. Thank you for reminding me. That just
made my heart. Oh, shit. And also it's Tuesday night because that's Bachelor in Paradise night as well. But we only have two more episodes of Bachelor in Paradise. And I don't know. I feel like we might have already reached the peak of good Bachelor in Paradise episodes.
Yeah, it's always
this past week's episode. They had like a storm go through and they're like, we need you to exit to the hotel down the street. And they try to, and I was like, it would have been cool if a real storm did and we're like, we're missing seven Bachelor contestants. They got swept away by a hurricane, but it wasn't like
back
that
after 2 seconds. Yeah. It always gets boring once they start settling down. So yeah, Bachelor in Paradise is, you know,
Tuesday's like a powerhouse day for reality. Like, you got Bachelor in Paradise, Vanderpump Rules now. You have Impeachment, the Monica Lewinsky story that I've been watching. And there's, I think, Welcome to Plathville on TLC is on Tuesday. Tuesday is a cornucopia of riches, but that's why we have DVRs.
Wednesdays has been my favorite because Beverly Hills and American Horror Story.
I did the first season of American Horror Story and it was so good. And then I did the second season. I was like, I just didn't get into it. And it just became like,
this season is really good. I'm obsessed with the season. Just so everyone, if anyone is into like creepy Twilight Zone-y stuff, this is a very good season. Very Twilight Zone-y.
Is Evan Peters in it?
Yeah, he is.
He just won an Emmy last week for Mayor. So
congratulations. I know. I'm happy for him. He deserves it.
That I found out he was American. I thought he was British. I was like, yeah, we got one, you know?
He's American.
Well, I mean, most actors that are good in that Mayor of Easttown are all foreign actors doing like Boston accents. So I figured, you know, or Philadelphia accents.
Yeah, yeah.
So go follow Sophie on all those socials and we will we'll talk to you next week.
Bye, guys. Thank
go
you.
Say, hey, go soak. Hey, if you guys are soaking this week, please shout out So Bad It's Good. Hey, jump pumpers out there. Shout out So
Bad It's Good.
Okay, we'll talk to you next time.
Bye.
Bye. Betches.